This is Thoughts Become Things. With each episode, we'll help you reach the highest creative potential that God has for you. With your host, a teacher, life coach, a dream coach, and motivational speaker, Jeremy Lopez.
Hello again, everyone, and welcome to another exciting podcast of Thoughts Become Things. I'm Jeremy Lopez, and as always, I'm thrilled and honored you guys are joining with me today. I'm so glad we have so many thousands of people around the globe that are always participating in our podcast and the ministry, and we're so delighted and honored to have you be a part of our lives here as we're part of your life. And I'm so always so thrilled to hear each one of your stories, your testimonies, your sharing what's going on in your life, how you've empowered yourself for the kingdom of God to be able to overcome this and, you know, do this and start your business. And I'm loving this because, you know, the Bible says we are the head and not the tail. We're above and not beneath. And really what that looks like for us is what it means to be a conqueror. Conquer things in our lives that we feel like we never could conquer before. God's given you the power to conquer anything that needs to be conquered in your life to where you are the victor of your life and you're learning how to navigate through your life with success and power and basically just being the light to everyone else around you. And so today I want to talk to you about basically the power of fear. You know, I was speaking the other day in one of my life coaching sessions to a young lady who was telling me, you know, she said, I don't know what to do because I'm just gripped with fear. I just, you know, and there's a couple of things in her life that she just sort of grips her with fear. But it's not everything. It's just a couple of things that sort of just grabs a hold of her and won't let go. And I said, do you know where fear comes from? Fear comes from the lack of knowing who you are. And the reason why we say that is because if you think about yourself in the sense of the old saying, know thyself, very true statement, folks. Knowing thyself is empowering and it's important because when you know yourself, you know what you're capable of doing. You know your boundaries. You know what you like, what you don't like. You know pretty much a little bit more of navigating through your life of what you're sort of, what you're after. You know, you have a little bit of desires here and there, you know, that you've sort of cultivated to say, I'm really desirous. This. I want to be able to, you know, go this route and go that route, and I'm not a big fan of this kind of food, and I'm not a big fan of that. But so you pretty much know a little bit more about your life of what it is you're looking for, right? So knowing yourself is great because it's not just about knowing yourself, but knowing who you are, knowing what you're capable of doing, knowing who you belong to, knowing what you want in your life. These are important issues because when we look at this, sometimes I like to call the religious community, not those are Christians, but the religion within Christianity, and trust me, folks, it's there. You know, would pretty much tell you to, you know, have nothing to do with yourself, don't love yourself, you're not important, you're just a wretched, horrible person, and that's so contrary to the scriptures, totally contrary. You know, I remember back in the day, you know, when I was growing up, and let's say we ever sang Amazing Grace in church, and it would say, you know, saved a wretch like me. I never used that word. I never would call myself a wretch. Because it doesn't mean that I'm better than everyone else, because gosh, God knows I'm not. But I was raised to never look at myself as if I'm horrible, despicable, and by all means, I never want to call myself a wretch. Because of the simple fact that I am someone who is born into the kingdom of God, which means that the Bible says I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. It doesn't say I'm part of it. It says you are the righteousness. Think about that. You are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. That's a huge statement. Most people might look at that and say, man, that's borderline heresy. And I'm like, well, take it up with the Bible, you know? And so you realize that, you know, you're the head and not the tail. You're the righteous of God in Christ Jesus. You are the light of the world. I mean, there's so many things. You're a friend of God. You know, there's so many things that you have to begin to understand that when you're bone of his bone, flesh of his flesh, you're one with God. Just end of discussion. And so there's no need in trying to bring forth false humility to put yourself down. Oh, I'm just a horrible no one God. Well, you know, for you, you might see that way about yourself, and you will attract more of that in your life. The more you put yourself down and cut yourself down out of false humility, the more you will attract that kind of stuff into your life. I don't want to be that person. I know who I am. I know what I am. I know what I'm after. I have some goals, not always, but I'm always trying to tweak those goals and sort of reach for the prize of the high call. And so with me, I have more of a grip on what I am, who I am, what I'm after, and knowing my boundaries. And so with that being said, that means I will attract more into my life, because you reap what you sow, right? What you put out there comes back to you. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. So you will attract more in your life of what you think about yourself, what you think about other people, how you see the world, how you see your life, how you see your job, how you see your marriage. You know, when you see things bad, you'll attract bad things. You know, it's like saying, you know, let's look for a yellow Volkswagen today. Well, you know what? You're going to find a lot of yellow Volkswagens you'll see throughout the day, where normally you wouldn't even see one because you're consciously not aware of it. So your mind will pick up on that in which you focus on. Whatever you look for, you will find. If you think people are bad, the world is bad, don't trust anyone, you will attract people, guess what, that will take advantage of you. You will see the bad in the earth. I don't want to be that person. I don't bury my head in the sand to not see the reality of things that are happening, but I want to be the person who recognizes God in all things. Why? Because I want to find the good in people. You know, Jesus said, I'm the light that lighteth every man. And when you see that, you realize he is the light that has that lights every man. So I want to find the light in people, period. Because if somebody thinks they're bad, the more you begin to reiterate that, and you begin to say, you're right, you're bad. Or say, man, they're bad people, they're bad people. And that person gets wind of people calling them bad, they will turn out even worse. And so, you know, the power of the tongue, the power of words, the power of how you see yourself, these things are reality. When people ask me things such as, is law of attraction biblical? I'm like, it's from Genesis to Revelation. It's all through the Bible. And so it is a fact of how you see. That's why God gave us senses, and God gave us a brain, and God says, cast down vain imagination, but not good imagination. You know, you see these things where you realize that God has given us options and choices and taste buds. Why? Why should we care about what I'd like? Ooh, that's bad food. I don't like that. I don't like the taste of tomatoes, which I don't. I'm not a tomato guy, you know? Or what I have a craving for, a taste for. Why would God give us these options? Because he wants us to be empowered to say, what is your decision? What is your options? What is your likings? Because I want to give you the desire of your heart, but you're going to have to, I'm not going to birth forth and force you to have a desire. You've got to cultivate your desire through your experiences, through your life's journey, because that's why I'm giving you life and life more abundantly, so where you can cultivate what you're after in this life. And then when you begin to get your hands on it, I'll give you those desires of your heart. I'll begin to bless you when you know a little bit more of what you're after, what you want, you know. And once again, yes, it's all within the will of God. But the will of God, folks, is a lot bigger than you think it is. It's not like God saying, I have one man for you on planet Earth out of 7 billion people. And I'm like, that's, you know, ladies, that's when you pray to God. You say, Lord, please, Lord Jesus, don't let that one man be in China. I'd be screwed. I mean, I really would be, you know. Or I have one lady for you and she is in, you know, Okinawa, you know, Japan, you know. And you're like, okay, now how on God's green earth am I going to find that one lady in Japan? You know, I mean, like, what's the miracle of that? And so you can't, the will of God is not about, you know, that sort of narrow-minded thinking. It's not. And even when people say narrow is the way, that has nothing to do with that. If you study the original language, you'll find out narrow is the way. It has nothing to do with the will of God being narrow like that. You have to study the original language of the Greek to understand what that is saying. And you really want to get technical with it. The original language is Aramaic and not Greek, because it was Aramaic first, then translated into Greek. So let's get technical about it. So that's why you can't look at that and say there's one job, one lady, one man, one. That's ridiculous. If that's the case, there's not one person on this planet in God's perfect will. Not a one. There's no humanly possible. And so what God is saying is, I want you to navigate through the things that I've given you, your spiritual taste buds, for lack of a better word, your natural taste buds, to see what it is you like. Let's work with that. Let's work with that. We come together, we work together. God is not going to control your life. Nowhere in the Bible does God say he controls you. God wants to work with you, not for you. And here's the thing. When people ask me, do you work for God? I said, I don't work for God. God is not my boss. He's not a slave master. I work with God. Because as my Heavenly Father, you know, I work with God. God works with me. Because God's greatest thing is I want to work with my people. And I want to know what you have to say. You know, God wants you to be able to present to God what you like. I mean, you know, the Bible says, come and reason with me. That means don't go before God and say, oh God, your will, just do whatever you want to with my life. God's like, I'm not going to control you. I don't do that. I don't manipulate you. You're not a robot. You tell me what you've learned in this life so far. And by my spirit, you begin to tell me what you feel is your likings, what you think is healthy for you. I mean, if not, why would God even tell us, hey, think about things that are of good report, praiseworthy. Think about these things. Why would God waste his time to tell us, you know, this is how you should think on these different levels of positive things and positive thinking? Why would God waste his time telling us that? Unless God is saying, because I want to give you a variety of things you can think about to where you can cultivate a little bit more of you and find you in the mix. So with all that being said, when we look at fear, let's look at fear for a moment. So fear is basically a person who doesn't know their identity, doesn't know who they are, what they're after, what they like. And let's just face it, when you don't have a groundwork, when you don't have a foundation underneath your feet, what happens is it gets a little scary because fear sets in because there's nothing to grab. There's nothing to gravitate towards, nothing to root yourself in. And so when you don't understand that, fear comes there. And here's what's beautiful about the opposite of fear. So when you understand that, then you look at the power of power. Okay, let's look at the word power for a moment. So when I know myself, I'm powerful. Because I know me. When the Bible says we suffer from lack of knowledge, that means you live in a suffering dimension. Your life will be full of suffering when you don't empower yourself with knowledge to know how things work. You know, if you don't know how gravity works, it's going to kill you. If you don't know how fire works, it's going to burn you. You know, so knowledge is power. And when you activate knowledge of action, it becomes more empowering. So knowing myself and knowing what I know I like, what I don't like, who I am, what I'm after, that's power. Because that gives me the power to make a decision, to act on something, to put action with it. When I don't know who I am, I'm powerless. Because I don't know, think about it, there's nothing to activate within inside of me. There's nothing in me to activate because I don't know me and I don't know what I am, I don't know what I like. So I'm powerless. So now we understand when the scripture says God has not given you a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. The reason why those three things go together is because when you don't know yourself, you move in fear. The greatest weapon against fear is identity. Because when you know what you are, who you are, and all that stuff we just mentioned, you become powerful. When you know yourself, you want to live life. You've never met a person who says, I know my life, I know who I am, I know what I'm capable of doing, but I want to die. People don't feel that way. When people know who they are and what they're after and they have a goal and a vision, no wonder why the Bible says, without a vision, the people perish or cast off restraint. And by the way, let me just sort of clear the air for some of you, okay? Some of you who think that God's going to do everything for you, that's not biblical. The Bible never says God will give you a vision. That's not biblical. It actually says, hey, by the way, it's saying this, without a vision, you're going to perish. So what is God saying? Hey, get a vision for your life. Get a vision for your life. Does God help you cultivate a vision? Absolutely. But God is not going to drop a vision bomb in your spirit and say, here's your vision. Here's your tools. Go for it. God is saying, I'm going to work with you. When you cultivate a little bit more of your desire and you throw some ideas to me in the sense of saying, God, I really would like to do this. I'll tweak it. I'll work with you and we'll either make it happen or I'll take away some of that vision, make it a little better. I'll make what's good. I'll make it into great. But God is not going to give you a vision. It's not Bible. It says, without a vision, the people perish or cast off restraint. So therefore, your life is perishing. So whatever you touch, whatever you do will perish and it won't take off. It won't produce. It won't prosper. Why? Because you have a lack of a visual of seeing you in action in your life, living, moving, breathing, activating, doing this in action mode. If you don't see yourself in action mode, you're perishing because you can't see because you're left powerless. And you don't want to, and you want to enjoy life. When people ask me, do you like what you do? I said, let me tell you something. I love with a passion what I do. Why? Because I have a passion for what I do. I love what I do because I've created a world for me to do what I'm doing. And when you create a world for you to do what you're doing, you will find yourself where you're powerful because you're the one empowering the vision. You're empowering the very thing you're doing. And when you do that, guess what? You tend to love what you do then. And when you begin to do that, then you begin to look at your life and say, I don't even feel just powerful. I'm loving life. So God has not given you a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. So where does love come in? The Bible says this, love your neighbor as you love yourself. When people say, oh, I love people, but I just don't love myself right now, then you don't love people. There's a protocol to that scripture that says you got to give yourself self-love. You got to love who you are. Not like, oh my gosh, I'm so sexy, I'm so powerful, I'm so hot. Not that kind of pride. That's not loving yourself. That's a little exotic. Warp to love to yourself. When you look at yourself and you realize, you look at yourself and you say, with a humble heart, I truly love God, what you've made me to be. I love who I am. I've really worked hard on my personality. I love what you've given me, God, that I've worked with to make it full of excellence and integrity. And so for me, I love who I am. Are there things I like to change about my life? Sure, who wouldn't? But I love me. I love me. I love the life I've been given. I don't want to disrespect God by exiting out of this life or not loving the life He's given me. And so when I love me, then because I'm giving me love, what you sow, which you sow, you reap back. So I give myself love. Other people will reinforce that love to me when I need it the most. And as I do that, then I'm able to give true love to people. Because I always say, if you don't love yourself, you don't need to be in ministry. You don't. If you don't love people, you definitely don't need to be in ministry or anything. Because being a motivational speaker, because love is a key. And it's got to be given to yourself in order for you to give it to other people. That's what the Bible talks about. So when you deal with fear, you're dealing with a lack of identity. Therefore, if I have a lack of identity, I'm not going to care about myself. I'm not going to love myself because there's nothing to love, right? That's how people would think. I don't love myself because there's nothing here that I see is satisfying or futuristic of me doing, or you know, or could I actually do this? And so there's not. So I'm powerless. So lack of identity leaves me powerless. It leaves me not really wanting to love me, so I can't really truly love other people. Even though I might think I can't. And it's going to leave me in a place where my mind will never be at peace because I'm always searching for something that I feel like is basically sabotaging my life. Because it's that saying when people say, you know, when people look at you and they... And they say, man, my life is always bad. Yeah, my life is bad too, man. Nothing ever goes right for me. They self-sabotage themselves. Why? Because they don't know themselves. They don't know what they're capable of doing. Because they don't love themselves. And so there's a fear. Fear is not like, oh, I'm scared of scary movies, you know, or I'm scared to walk outside. Fear is a paralyzer where it leaves you at a place where you just find yourself subconsciously fearful of everything, and therefore you don't take leaps of faith. You don't step out and walk on the water in a good idea. So fear is not just, oh, I don't want to watch scary movies, or I don't want to walk in a back alley by myself, you know? Fear is a lot deeper than that. And so when you begin to when you begin to really love who you are, know yourself that God's created you to be, all of a sudden fear, the weapon of fear is identity. And so all of a sudden fear just starts disintegrating. It eradicates. It just sends fear on its way, because the greatest thing God's ever wanted us to do is know who we are. Know who we are, know we're capable of doing, and doing it. Having a vision, being full of knowledge and wisdom, moving in, being the light that and by the way, when we say being the light that exposes the darkness, it doesn't mean you walk around saying, I see that wretched sin on you, I'm going to expose it to the world. No, that's somebody that is dangerous, that throws around that sort of Old Testament prophet mentality that has nothing to do with God's grace, not at all. Light is a place where light sheds abroad and shows you where things are. So if I'm in a dark room and I flip a light switch on, light comes on. Light and darkness does not fight each other. That's the thing that people realize. Light and darkness don't fight each other. You don't see the light switch going, you don't see the light coming in pushing back the darkness. No, that's not right. That's not even science. It's not even chemistry. It's not Bible. When you flip a light on and light comes on the darkness, darkness just automatically just boom, it's gone and light's there. So there's no warfare with this. When you get a revelation of light all of a sudden that penetrates, you know, it comes on a light switch in you, you just get it. There's no warfare there. And so all of a sudden when you look at light, you realize that light dispels darkness just automatically. And so you want fresh revelation about your life. You want fresh revelation about other people. You want revelation. And knowing that you're the light, all of a sudden you begin to realize, you know what? I'm not here to expose people. I'm here to bring people hope and a bright future by just bringing light on a revelation to say, did you know how powerful you are? Did you know how great you are? You know, and yet when you see people doing things that are wrong, here's what I do. You don't always have to find yourself calling that out. You're in adultery, you sorry, blah, blah, blah. That doesn't help people. All you're doing is making them condemn to really feel like, yep, that's all I'm good for. Light of revelation brings forth to say, did you know how powerful you are? Do you understand that you can really start your own business? Do you understand the power of love that you have? What happens is you begin to illuminate their qualities, and their qualities overrides all the things that are going on because the glory of God just covers the earth as the waters cover the sea, which means light just automatically just dispels things because they have revelation on the fact of who they are. They have revelation on the fact of, you believe in me? You think I can do something great? And all of a sudden, something in them says, I just don't want to do this bad thing anymore because somebody believes in me and I can do this. And so when we deal with fear, you're dealing with the weapon of identity, the weapon of love, the weapon of being full of power that comes from knowing thyself. It's a beautiful thing. And if people just grasp that, you realize, you know what, life can be beautiful. And we realize, you know what, the greatest thing in my life is knowing who I am and knowing what I'm capable of doing and knowing that I can do all things through Christ. And so there's a beautiful side to this. And you're talking about law of attraction. Let me tell you something. Law of attraction, you will attract everything in your life that's going to be so amazing because knowing yourself and loving yourself and knowing the power of yourself, man, I mean, things will come to you left and right. You'll find favor and blessings. Your life won't be perfect, but you'll see things come in your life and you'll be like, wow, that's cool. Wow, I wasn't expecting that. That's really cool. So it depends on how you see yourself. Your life turns out of how you see yourself and then how you see other people. I hope today's podcast actually really sort of gave you a little unction to function, a little bit of revelation. And as I always say, in the podcast is go and create your day-to-day. If you don't like what's going on today, hey, remember, happiness is a choice. So go and recreate your day-to-day and get the better half of what you want your life to be. And that day, hey, start thinking good thoughts and begin to create the rest of your day, and it shall turn out to be that way. Have a great day. God bless.
This has been the Thoughts Become Things podcast with Jeremy Lopez, helping you reach your highest creative potential that God has for you. For more episodes, products, and information on Jeremy, visit www.identitynetwork.net.